Okay, so if you're listening to the scripture reading before, basically what we're talking about today is the first chapter of Jonah. Now, Jonah was a man who was called by God and he didn't want the calling, and so he ran in the complete opposite direction. And to run where he was heading towards, he had to cross the sea. So he had to pay a fare to get onto this ship. He gets onto this ship, basically, and then a massive storm arises where people's lives are in danger. And so he's thrown overboard to try to stop the storm, and a big fish comes and swallows him whole, and he's living in this fish for 3 days and three nights. Hands up if you've heard this story before. I heard it a lot when I was little. Even in school, I remember them talking about the big fish and living in the whale of a fish. I mean, this belly of a whale. Oh, I just thought it was very weird. Okay, so I'm just going to pray first, and then we'll get into it. So, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will just come and speak to us. I don't want people to walk away listening to what I've said, but what you've said. And so, God, challenge us and show us exactly how we can relate to this book in Jonah that you've blessed us with. And so, Lord, speak to us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the word of the Lord. What's the word of the Lord? It was a call in straight away to Jonah. He was really aware that God spoke to him. And what he had to do is he had to go preach to this great city and tell them that they're wicked and they're living in violence, that God does not like it and he's not happy. I don't know about you, but that's a little bit of a weird thing to go tell people. Back in the Bible times, that was very popular. God would talk to them, talk to the prophets, and get them to go out and speak to the cities. But this is such a massive calling upon Jonah's life, that he would be humiliated, he would be ridiculed to actually go out into this city. So to understand a bit more of this calling and why he ran, I think we need to know a little bit more about this city. Nineveh. Okay, so Nineveh was a wicked city. It was wicked with violence, like massive violence. These people loved war. They loved shedding blood. They loved shedding tears. Anything that they got their own way, they would express that with violence. So it was a massive, massive issue. There was people killing each other to get their own way. There was people punching each other to get their own way. And they would cause bruises and inflict harm on people just to get what they wanted. It was such a violent city. I want you to think about all the gangs that we have in the world and put them all into one place. That's basically this city. They hate each other. They're against each other. There's drive-by shootings. You know, all these things that happen in the movies happened in this city. It was massive. It was violent. And it was so big that it would take away from the end of the city. So for Jonah to walk into this city and tell them that what they're doing, God is not happy, he would be completely scared. And he runs, doesn't he? Because it wouldn't just take him 4 days to walk around telling this message. It 4 days just to get to another. It would take him weeks to get around to all the people and tell them that God is unhappy with them. So this is a much scary calling for him. He has to venture out alone. He doesn't have bodyguards with him. God's told him he has to come alone and go into this city, into this place that is most feared and hated by all men. And he has to come there and tell them that what they're doing is wrong. So of course, he runs away. And he runs and he wants to run to Tarshish. And basically, Nineveh is here and Tarshish is here. So when you think about it, he runs in the complete opposite direction, wanting to get away from this. He does not want anything to do with it, because running away is always the easiest option. I found that in my life. I found that in other people's lives. We tend to always run away instead of dealing with issues. So he runs and he wants to run from the presence of God. He thinks that if God's in Nineveh wanting me to preach, I'm going to go this way. So obviously God's not going to be there. But if you flick your Bibles to Psalm 139, 7 to 12, you would know that there is no place that we can go that we can hide from the presence of God. He is here, there, and everywhere. It goes on to tell us that if we go to the highest of heights or the lowest of lows, we can go anywhere we want, but yet God's still going to be there. So no matter what he did, to run, God's still going to be there. He can't escape the presence of God, and yet he's still trying to. So he gets on this boat, and there's this massive storm that arises. But before the storm happens, he goes down below deck to go to sleep. And so this massive storm comes, and sailors are freaking out. Can you imagine the screaming, the crying? They're throwing things overboard to make it lighter so they could at least save themselves. They're freaking out. Even the captain is freaked out. And for some reason, he comes below deck and he finds Jonah asleep. He runs up to him and he says, "How can you be sleeping?" I'm putting it in my words. He goes, "How can you be sleeping? Get up and cry out to your God. Everyone's crying out to their God. Nothing is working. You need to cry out to your God because we need to be safe." And so all the sailors decide that they're going to cast lots to find out who is responsible for this storm. They knew that it was a God that created this storm. They knew someone had disobeyed God and is angry with them that they're stuck in this storm. So they decide to cast lots. The casting of lots is something that they used to do a lot in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in Proverbs 16:33, it says, "A lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." So basically, this whole idea of casting lots, they were pebbles or sticks that had a name or something written on them. And they would cast them out. And the whole idea is because they couldn't control the outcome, that God was in control of the outcome. So that's how they made a lot of their decisions. They'd cast out lots, and God discerned who was going to have what they wanted or who was going to be basically blamed. And so they would do this a lot. Like sometimes they did it to choose kings in the Old Testament. They cast out lots to choose a king. When Jesus was being crucified, the Roman soldiers cast lots to see who would get his belongings, his clothing. And the disciples, they cast lots to find out who would take Judas's place, the man who betrayed God, and they found their 12th disciple. So the casting of lots was a very traditional kind of thing to do. It's kind of like our paper, scissors, rock, although I don't really do that a lot, but that's the kind of idea. So they cast lots, and God reveals that Jonah is the guilty one. He's the one who's to blame for this storm. And this is where Jonah's mind changes. He did not want to go to Nineveh because he was in fear of his life to go into this violent city. But yet he changes his mind and says, "Throw me overboard because I know the storm will stop if I get thrown overboard, that you will all be safe." He's risking his life for these strangers. He has no idea. He's never met them before, and he's risking his life for these sailors and the captain. He knew that he had to go into the heart of the storm because God created this storm, that he needed to get to God's heart to apologize because he was the one who went the wrong way. So he's willing to die for these people, and he gets chucked overboard, and God still provides him safety. Even though he's gone against God's will, even though he's ran away from God, he hasn't obeyed God, God still provides his safety with a fish and swallows him whole, that is stuck in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. When I was little, I tried to find a good photo, but I couldn't really find a good one. When I was little and I first heard this story, I saw a picture of a cartooned Jonah in this pink, nice, comfy room, which was meant to represent the belly. And so for years, I started thinking that would have been really cool, nice and warm, safe and sound. But then as I was reflecting on it, it would stink. It would literally stink. I don't know about you, but I can't stand a fish market. I have to hold my breath when I go past, and somehow the molecules come into my nose and I can still smell the fish that I have to gag. I can't pass a fish market without gagging. It's, you may love it, but it's so gross to me. So can you imagine being in this belly of a fish, in the stomach of a fish? It stinks. He's surrounded by salt water mixed with chewed up fish, seaweed, probably some crabs, probably some turtles. I don't really know how big this fish is. And then he's probably, you know, vomiting, so it's all mixed all together because it's gross. Can you imagine what it'd be like 3 days and three nights to be in this fish? And this fish isn't just cruising along the ocean. It's having the time of its life. So it's going up and down. It's going side to side. So Jonah is going up and down and side to side, and he's getting mixed, and things are touching him, and it's gross, and he can't have a shower. He can't clean himself. Can you imagine how gross that is? Some of you look like you're going to vomit, so I'll stop talking about the fish. But I just think that's really gross. So what God wants to speak to us today and what he put onto my heart is that he really wants to challenge us and show us and ask us the question, where are we in this story? What can we take from today? And so the first thing, are we running away from something? Are we running away from some calling that we know we're meant to do for our life, or that God's given us for our life and we're running from it? Or are we running from a circumstance? Are we in debt? Or are we in a relationship that we don't want to be in and we're trying very hard to run away from it? And we're stuck and we just can't stop running because it seems like the easiest option. Or are we simply stuck in a storm that we're on this boat and we have the decision to either go into the heart of the storm and be thrown overboard or stay on the storm and kind of hope that we survive? Is everything around us crashing down? Or are people casting lots around us that they're finding out our true hidden secrets, that they're finding out our guiltiness, they're finding out all this bad stuff about us, and we can't hide anymore? Or the last one, is everything so good in our lives and we look around and we just think, no, we're great, we're happy, we're free, everything's fine. But then after listening to this chapter, we look around and we actually realize our life stinks. We're in the belly of a fish and all of this gucky yuck stuff is surrounding us and we don't know how to get out. The sailors, when they were on the ship and the storm arose, they all cried out to their God and nothing was happening. The storm wasn't settling down, nothing was happening. But as soon as they worked out that Jonah was a Hebrew and he worshipped the God of creation, the God of the heavens, they were in fear. They knew that it was a big God, a powerful God who created this massive storm. And they turned from worshipping their gods and crying out to their gods to crying out to the God. And they turned from their ways. They worshipped him and they made a vow to him. We need to turn from our ways and we need to figure out where we are, where we're at. Are we running? Are we in the storm? Are we unable to hide anymore? Or are we plain simply in the belly of a fish and our life stinks? And I just want you to reflect on it and just think about where you are. You may want to come down to the front and pray, and we are always here to pray with you. Or you may just want to sit in your seats and reflect about it. But just think about where you are.